The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, good afternoon. How are you?
You know what? I'm actually super happy today. First of all, I want to give a shout out to everybody at Sandringham Gardens and say thank you for hosting me.
Oh, did you go? Did you give a talk there?
I did give a talk there. And Howard, I must say, you are very, very popular. And we have a super fan, and I'm going to give a shout out to him a little later because I see he's still walking down the stairs. But he listens to us every day. And I have to say, it's so wonderful to be amongst Mishpacha in South Africa. So thank you, Sandringham Gardens, and thank you to everybody out there who's been so warm and welcoming.
Absolutely fantastic. And we do often, in fact, I was contacted as well from Sandringham Gardens, and I hope to be chatting to them in person shortly as well.
They are going to love you.
Good, I'm pleased. Yeah, who doesn't love us is UNESCO, Rolene. What on earth is going on with UNESCO? I thought with Nikki Haley around, we were going to achieve some measure of success.
You know what? I think that we still will see results from Nikki Haley. Unfortunately, UNESCO is not one of those UN agencies that has caught up to the rest of the world. Having said that, I think that there is an alarming trend at the UN in the form of institutionalized anti-Semitism, or that's how I see it. Mm-hmm. Another repugnant UNESCO resolution, again put to the table by countries that some may deem, you know, are not that strategic. But they did table a resolution which was voted on yesterday saying that Israel occupies Jerusalem. And this is to coincide with the 50 years of reunification, what we are marking 50 years, the UN having their caucus saying it's 50 years of occupation and then coming out with this horrendous, horrendous resolution.
But how can Israel occupy Jerusalem, even according to the UN? Does that make any sense?
It makes no sense. And this is why I call it institutionalized anti-Semitism, because if they could vote that the earth was flat and blame Israel for it, they would.
I mean, isn't it like saying that America's occupying Washington?
It's exactly like saying that. It's like saying South Africa's occupying Pretoria or
Cape Town. Well, the Guptas are, but that's something completely different, I guess.
It is so profoundly offensive. And the next resolution to watch is the one that will go to the vote on Friday, July the 7th. A huge irony for me that it is in Poland, where they will be voting on the status of Hebron.
I actually love the fact that it's in Poland. Because then again, you know, when we were talking to David Effian earlier, and we were talking about so-called Jews for a Just Palestine, and they put out a video showing how Jews have conspired to help kill Americans, I'm happier with that, because then we're calling it what it is. There's no pretense. And now when we go back to Poland, which is the graveyard of millions and millions of murdered Jews only because they were Jewish, and there's no doubt that even in the late 1930s and 1940s, they called it something just a little bit different. It was because of an socially acceptable reason at the time. Now we just call it Zionism. But I love the fact that in Poland, they might work, because they are going to pass this vote. Let's not kid. They've got the numbers.
Unless
it's stacked against us.
Unless it goes to secret ballot, which is what Israel is pushing for. And Nikki Haley has appealed to UNESCO to not vote on this ridiculous resolution. So while it is tabled by a certain bloc or written by a certain bloc, we're really hoping that, you know, just common sense will start to prevail. After last night, I'm very, very skeptical. But I think it would be a major win for us if we get that secret ballot.
All right. Interesting. I have to disagree with you. I think it's going to happen irrespective. And on some level, I want it to happen because it just shows it. Because the truth is, it means nothing. Do we really? I mean, I know it chips away at Israel's credibility. I get that. But to some extent, do we really care what UNESCO says?
Well, we as Israelis don't care what UNESCO says. Unfortunately, when we look at the global arena and the court of public opinion, they still seem to take what the United Nations says as the gospel.
Well, it is true that, in fact, I remember, Arlene, when you were having a little bit of a open letter discussion with Reedy Klabi, she was quoting the United Nations. So it does give people credibility. Ansan says Jerusalem isn't holier than Cairo, Damascus, or Beirut. The third holiest city in Islam is in southern Iraq. I'm not sure that the discussion is even about the holiness of it. It seems to be purely political that Israel is the occupier.
Yes, well, this this vote was to coincide, you know, as I say, on our side, we are celebrating 50 years of reunification.
Absolutely.
They had the United Nations, you know, it's like when they have Nakba Day and the inalienable right of Palestinians. This is another one. It's 50 years of occupation.
Yeah, and I just wonder, again, it goes back to some of the discussions that we've been having, how seriously we should be taking it. Do we need to continue, or do we actually just say, listen, UNESCO, you are who you are, you have zero credibility, you are a traitor to your own cause, because they are meant to look after World Heritage Sites, and in fact, they become a political organization, and a World Heritage Site is not political. So it's very interesting. The unsigned saying the main problem with the UNESCO resolution is that it builds the justification of the anti-Israel lobby amongst the uninformed. Well, I include Reedy Klabi as an uninformed certainly on the subject. So yes, I agree that is a factor.
It's disturbing. It's not, well, you know, for the Israelis, we are extremely dafka. If you tell us that we are doing something wrong, we're going to just stand up to you anyway and be dafka about visiting and looking after our holy sites. But for the student at university studying international relations, for the journalists, for people who look to the United Nations for credibility and as a credible source, unfortunately, this now sits as a voted-on resolution.
Absolutely right. We spoke yesterday about the Labour Party primaries and Herzog versus Peres. What happened with this now?
Well, basically, they went through the first round of primaries last night. Thanks to Britney Spears, they had to reschedule. And it is now a shock result in Herzog being kind of inched out, and it is now between former Labour Party leader Amir Peretz and Gabay, who comes from the more centre Kulanu Party, whose focus was more on the financials and the economy, and Gabay approaching Isaac Herzog saying, please support me in my campaign against Peretz. This is where Israeli politics gets, you know, fascinating. It becomes musical chairs within musical chairs, and this is, you know, why the Israeli political landscape is so dynamic and so complicated. And if anybody understands it perfectly, please let me know. To me, it's like the Electoral College in the United States. If somebody can give me a rational explanation on that, I'd be happy. And if somebody can give me a rational explanation on our party system and our electoral system and political alliance system, I'd be happy with that.
Raleen, one of our listeners saying that the Palestinians have nothing, no heritage, absolutely zero heritage. Is this true? Because we often read about, and we're certainly hearing from the right, the right-wing element of Israeli Zionism, that the Palestinian people, the whole concept is a construct. My view is, I don't think it matters. There are people that need rights and people that need to be dealt with in terms of equitably, and there are also people that need to respect the right for Israel to exist. There's a lot of discussion around that, and it's quite a prickly point. What is your view on it?
Well, you know, I think we have to look at, and very often people will say, but they don't have rights to this because it's that. Mm. We have to sometimes maybe separate Palestinian as a people's heritage and claims and Muslim claims.
Mm.
You know, do Palestinian people have a claim to what they call the Ibrahimi Mosque. It's a claim as Muslims.
Right, 100%.
It's part of their heritage.
Right.
They also are the descendants of what they call Ibrahim.
Right.
I think where it does get prickly is the issue of Palestinian nationhood.
Right.
It's a very young national movement, mm-hmm. only founded really in 1964.
Which is interesting, considering that Israel existed from according to the UN, existed from 1948. So it took 20 years.
Yeah, so I'm of the opinion that, like you are, we now have this situation on the ground where we do have people with a national aspiration in the region who have national aspirations. Mm. They want a homeland. They want claims to a heritage. They want institutions. And we have to understand that you can't just nullify that.
Mm.
This is a situation that has to be dealt with.
Well, that's my point.
Is
it's just a reality that needs to be dealt with in the fairest way. Also, an Austrian bishop has quit an NGO over anti-Semitism at a Palestinian event. Tell me about this.
Well, this is very interesting. This was a story I saw in the J Post today, and this particular bishop attended this event, and he said, you know, it was blatant. Anti-Semitic, and he said he no longer can be part of this organization, I think, of which he was a board member. He says because of the blatant anti-Semitism, and he feels as an Austrian that we need to show sensitivity towards Israel because of the past, because of the very, very painful role Austria played in the Holocaust. And I thought it was interesting because I thought, are you taking a stand against anti-Semitism for the sake of it being an ancient hatred and you feel strongly against it? Or because you feel that maybe it will alleviate some guilt? Or because if you say we show sensitivity to Israel because of our past, you know, what is the motivation here?
But is that incorrect? I mean, I think the reality is that if you look at any people who have been previously disadvantaged, and we see it here in South Africa, certainly I believe that survivors of Hitler's Europe were previously disadvantaged. If they lost everything, they lost every material, comfort, they lost family, they lost everything. They had to rebuild from scratch. I do think certain allowances need to be made, and so there should be a certain sensitivity to that. I think that even often as a non-Israeli going to Israel, when we talk about the Sabras, which is a very prickly in Israel, it's a term to use to describe Israelis, prickly on the outside but sweet on the inside. That prickliness on the outside is almost a survivor attitude or mentality.
Yeah, so I just thought it was very, very interesting. Mm. But I don't want, to me, it's like saying Israel was born out of the Holocaust. There's just this, like a feeling of that to me. We were born despite, but not because.
Okay, I get that. And again, it's circling back to Europe, where somehow there's such a comfort in many parts of Europe to just revert back to age-old anti-Semitism.
It's a sick cancer.
It doesn't matter. One of them is redundant, but it's okay. We'll go with you on this.
But it's one that is spreading in every conceivable fashion throughout the world. I mean, I was asked today, is it the left? Is it the right? It's from both sides. It's from it's from the traditional.
It circles. The far left and the far right are very, very similar.
It's different. It's different rhetoric wrapped in the same package. It's a difficult one.
Indeed. Also difficult is trying to picture Bibi doing yoga. Tell me it ain't so.
Well, one of the most famous images of our first Prime Minister, David Ben-Gurion, is him doing a handstand, a headstand, I should say. David Ben-Gurion was a very, very keen yoga practitioner.
Gosh.
And now Prime Minister Netanyahu has taken up yoga. I don't know if it's because of growing bilateral ties between Israel and India. I don't know if he looked at everybody doing downward dog in Rabin Square a couple of weeks ago, and this just motivated.
Just trying to picture this is just horrible.
Or his stress levels are so ridiculous right now that the only way to get through the day is to get into your favorite pose and namaste. And I have to say, while we're talking about namaste and peace, I just want to give a shout out to a super fan who came in to meet us just now. His name is Alex. Alex, thank you for supporting us, and I hope that we are entertaining you on your drive home today.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. In fact, over the last few days, quite a few people have popped into the studio to say hi to Rolene Marks. It's been absolutely wonderful. So just getting finally wrapping up this yoga story. I think the only thing worse for me than picturing Bibi Netanyahu doing yoga is picturing Bibi Netanyahu and Sarah, his wife, doing yoga. Not pretty.
I cannot plead the fifth on that. Some of us have to return to the country.
All right. Time is 5:25. That was Rolene Marks with the Israel Report.